Today, I want to share with you a continuation of what we discussed last Sunday. Quick review, everybody. The book of Acts is about the history of the early church, how it began. So the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, you have chapter 1 to chapter 8. The first part has to do how the church was born. The place is basically Jerusalem, and the character mentioned was Peter, and then last Sunday, Stephen. Today, we will begin how the church got out of its border in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the main character is Philip. We will discuss Philip today. In the coming weeks, we will discuss how the church goes beyond to the remotest part of the earth, and the main character is Paul. How many of you would really like to live your life to the full? Raise your hand. You want to experience the reality YOLO. You know what's YOLO? YOLO. You only live once. My friend, make the most of your life. FOMO, the fear of missing out. That's true. You don't want to miss out on God's plan for your life. So it is very biblical. The only problem is, how do you live life to the full? And I was surprised when I began to look at some statistics. You know, the U.S., they keep a lot of statistics. And I was surprised to realize that the second leading cause of death in America today, the second major cause of death in America today, from ages 34 up to 10, okay, meaning young people. Guess what? Suicide. 47,000 committed suicide. Maybe last year even more. My statistics is a few years ago. Number two, they have discovered over 50% of these people committing suicide, they fight with depression. So depression is the real problem. Depression, that problem is more than people having cardiac problem, HIV, cancer. No, depression has afflicted more Americans today. Why is that so? I submit to you, if you are willing to be objective, even though America, basically their poor people, is probably living better than most people in the Philippines, okay? Basically, people don't die of hunger there, they have houses. You are poor if you have only one car maybe, okay? But my whole point is this, listen. Until you understand God's design for your life, until you follow the Maker, because He made you, until you follow His design, no amount of money will allow you to experience the fullness of life, no amount of popularity, no amount of possessions will fill the emptiness. So I suggest you listen to this message today, because this message will revolutionize your life. Not only will I talk to you about how to live your life to the full, but I want to share with you practical ways. How do you do it? You know, somebody once said, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years. It's not the number of years you live. It's really how do you live. So today, very simple. Let's copy Philip. Everybody, what's the title today? Be a blessing, share the gospel. Do you know this offhand? This is counterintuitive because we like to be blessed. We don't think of others. But you will notice the law of life. As Jesus explained, it's more blessed to give than to receive. As you bless others, you are blessed. If you keep focusing on yourself, bless me, bless me, bless me, my friend, it becomes empty. So God is amazing. What's the topic today? Be a blessing. Share the gospel. What's my basis? If you were to discuss it with each other, every row, table by table, if I were to ask you, what was the greatest thing, or what is the greatest thing that has ever happened to you? Think about it. What is the greatest thing in your mind that has ever happened to you? Think about it. Is it when you met your wife or your husband? For some of you, it's the greatest tragedy. Is it when you won the sweepstake or when you, got your career? What? I submit to you. We did this some time ago. We had a table of mature men. Almost all of them are 50 and up. Leaders of industry and big churches. And in our table, almost without missing, all of them wrote the following, and I, including me, the greatest blessing that has happened to me was when I met Jesus. And my entire life was changed. Once upon a time, I was headed one way with my values, with my goals. And then out of God's gracious, unmerited favor, He allowed me to hear the gospel. And when I gave my life to Jesus, my life was never the same. What about you? How many of you will agree with me that the greatest thing that has ever happened to you is when you met Jesus? Raise your hand. Now, don't raise your hand just because you are being forced, okay? Because many of you have religion, and it has not changed you. Because what you have is religion. I'm talking about Jesus. So, what's the topic today? Be a blessing. Share the gospel. You know why? Because the greatest blessing you can give to others is introducing them to the greatest person who ever lived, Jesus, who offers you the greatest promise, eternal life, who gives you the greatest provision, forgiveness, and who gives you the greatest assurance, His very presence. I don't know why we are not excited about Jesus. So, topic today, be like Philip. Philip, his name is lover of horses. Now, again, don't put too much meaning on the name, because like you have funny names and you have funny meaning. But the point is, who is Philip? He's the only person in the Bible that is called Philip the Evangelist. Because Philip is an amazing guy. He wanted to bless others. So what is the topic today? Be a blessing. What must you do? Share the gospel. You know, the Bible tells us why this is so important. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. This is serious. He's not saying in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. So, here is the Apostle Paul telling Timothy to have this eternal perspective. Don't think of the now. YOLO is wonderful. You only live once. But think of the big picture. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and His appearing, Jesus is coming again. What must you do? This is what he tells Timothy. Everybody read. Preach the word. Say that with me. Preach the word. Share the gospel. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. So that's what we are called to do. Be a blessing. How? Share the gospel. Sometimes people may not want to hear it. That's okay. Just do it out of patience, out of love. In Romans chapter 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, everybody, let's read. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Notice the pronoun. It is the power of God for salvation. Notice it. What is the power of God for salvation? The gospel. What is the gospel? It's about Jesus. He died and rose again. The gospel is Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And He rose again from the dead to prove that He's the Messiah. Everybody, read this together. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So, the message today is very simple. If you want a mental outline, one main point. What's the main point? Be a blessing. Share the gospel. Now, in Acts chapter 8, you have Philip sharing the gospel, and all of those people in all circumstances, to all people, all the time. So, how should you share the gospel? In all circumstances, good and bad. God can use all kinds of people, and God wants you to share to all people. And lastly, be available all the time. I'm not asking you to not be a blessing in terms of giving people money, helping them with their material needs. That's good. Continue. I'm not saying don't be a blessing by helping people find a job. That's good. I'm not saying don't be a blessing by helping people go through school. That's good. But I'm saying, ultimately, the greatest blessing has to do with the gospel, because it will not only allow you to experience life and purpose in this life, but life and purpose and meaning and eternal life in the life to come. It's a real blessing. Amen? All right. So, what can we learn? In all circumstances, Saul, you're now introduced to Saul, who later on became Paul, began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging men and women. He would put them in prison. My goodness, I don't know about you guys. You may be asking if your friend was dragged into prison or your husband. You'll be thinking, where is God? Lord, what's happening? Where are you? Do you ever have that problem? Sometimes you have problems and you do not know why God is allowing certain problems. Yes or no? Well, listen to me. Be a blessing, no matter what. You know why? Because God moves in mysterious ways. In this example, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. You know why they were scattered? Because it was no longer peaceful for many people to be in Jerusalem. You see, the Christians got so comfortable. It's like CCF Center. They got so comfortable in the center. They come here, okay? Monday, Tuesday, coffee, you know, fast food. They got so comfortable. And the Bible says you got to go share the gospel. But they don't want to do it because they love the group. They love meeting every night, every day. And God says, you know what? I'm going to allow certain things to happen. And the Bible tells us they were scattered. And praise God, when they were scattered, they did not pout, they did not sulk, hindi sila nagtampo wherever they went. What did they do? They preached the word. That's where you have the word evangelize. The word evangelize is repeated in the book of Acts, chapter 8, many times. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, began proclaiming Christ. Notice, the thing he talks about is Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus. The crowds, with one accord, were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. There were signs and wonders, because God uses all kinds of circumstances. How many of you are familiar with the Ethiopian airline incident? You know, the Ethiopian airline incident, it was going to Nairobi. And the guy got his boarding pass. Do you recall the story? And he was late only for 2 minutes. When he went to the gate, he saw the passengers entering the tube going to the airplane. He was shouting, "Let me in, let me in." How many of you have that experience? The gate was shut and the airplane is still there, but they won't let you enter the airplane anymore. Raise your hand. I tell you, welcome to the club. It happened to me also. But there's nothing you can do. But you know what happened? The guy said, he was so angry. But that airplane, the one that he missed, crashed. Remember? Everybody died. And he said he could not understand many times why God allows certain disappointments in your life. I know some of you have problems. But my friend, don't reject God. Just keep trusting Him. Because God knows what He's doing. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us, when you share the gospel, God is the one empowering you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Notice, to fulfill the command of God, God allowed them to have problems. You know why? Because they are to be His witnesses. How? First, you wait for the Holy Spirit. When you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Philip was an ordinary man. What was his job? To serve table, like a waiter, to serve the widows. But he was full of the Spirit. When you are full of the Spirit, the overflow is you want to share the gospel. But the Bible is very clear. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. So, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. Talk about Jesus, what He has done for you. Beginning in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. You see, they got so comfortable, but God allowed these things to happen. The Bible tells us, in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in the city. Wherever the gospel is preached, you will notice there will be healing. Amazing things will happen. Let me share with you a short video of one of our members who thought he was a Christian. Later on, he was demonized. What we did, we edited the video. But you can watch this full in the YouTube. But I edited it with the permission of the family so that you will understand the power of the name of Jesus. Are you ready? The meaning of be a blessing, why people need Jesus. All right, let's show that video.
I was born into a Christian family, and both my parents attended church when they were available. Early on in our lives, they fought a lot, and it affected me, but I never showed it. Except on this one night, when I was about 6 years old, I remember they were screaming so loud that I had to intervene. It was only when we moved to CCF 11 years ago that our family life improved. Since childhood, I was exposed to the church life, attended worship every Sunday, read the Bible, prayed, and had family devotions. When I was 7 years old, I even accepted the Lord in Sunday school. But at the age of 9, some kids in school were talking about the word sex. So I Googled it on the net, and since then I was exposed to pornography and eventually learned to masturbate. My parents found out about this and addressed it a several number of times, and I got into trouble. Since then, I didn't open up to them about stuff going on in my life anyway. I had friends in school to talk to about it, so I kept watching porn, even if I felt guilty. Because I believed the lie and told myself that as long as I asked for forgiveness from God and that the people that I hurt, it would all be okay. So I continued with my bad habits and grew further and further away, not only from a relationship with my parents, but also a relationship with God. After graduating from grade school, my parents and I decided to homeschool since I had gotten caught watching porn with some classmates in school. While being homeschooled, I spent more time at home and around my family. It became clear to me how disconnected I was to them and constantly hid my thoughts, problems, and feelings from them. Sure, we would spend time together, travel, talk about interests, talk about God and the Bible. My dad even discipled me weekly for about a year as I struggled in submission to my D group leader in Elevate. My dad and I started to build a relationship, and I even revealed my pornography addiction to him. I made him feel like I was connecting, but deep inside I felt the bitterness begin to grow slowly. I eventually rejoined Elevate and served in several ministries here in CCF. I was part of a D group and in time led my own D group. I attended Christian camps, Christian concerts, Christian conferences, listened to praise and worship music, memorized Bible verses, listened to hundreds of preachings and testimonies, and even shared the gospel to a number of people. But all this was just a front to cover up my double life. I also noticed a disconnect in my parents' spirituality that caused me to see them as hypocritical. I would often hear them argue and complain about church and ministry, and yet they continued to serve. Our home was always so serious. There was no joy, and we lacked happiness. All the while, I thought Christians were supposed to be the most joyful, most humble, most loving people in the world. I started growing cold towards God until I gave up my personal prayer and quiet time altogether and replaced it with computer gaming, social media, and pornography. When I was 15, I developed a severe depression that I could not understand. Everything seemed to affect me. Even problems that I wasn't part of would seem so heavy on my shoulders. The pain grew so severe that I constantly wanted to die. I had suicidal thoughts all the time, never really had anyone close enough to talk to. I tried asking God to take it away, but He didn't. I was too afraid to kill myself because I knew about the consequences in eternity. I was very good at faking my happiness, especially in church, but deep inside, I hated seeing my parents serve, I hated going to church, I hated having to attend Elevate and D Group, and I hated hearing and talking about Jesus like He was real in my life. So around this time, I became active in an organization outside of CCF. We traveled for conferences and trainings, and that's where I leveled up in my addictions. Partying at nightclubs, smoking, constantly abusing alcohol, often blacking out and vomiting. I also started looking for love by getting intimately involved with girls from my previous school and this organization, but kept all of this a well-guarded secret. This went on for a couple of years. My parents had no idea what I was into. At that time, I was still serving in ministry, still attending church, and was even leading a D group. But the pain, anger, and resentment I had towards my parents kept growing. My double life was so successful, but eventually I got tired of the nightlife and getting my heart broken. So I began to look into marijuana. I was exposed to this at one of my summer camps, so I remember how good it felt. After reading and researching on cannabis, I decided to use and abuse it. I fell in love with the high it gave. I experienced a happiness like no other, and happiness was all I really wanted. I kept up with this lifestyle until about a month ago, when my parents found out about my growing habit through a cousin. My dad, being the angry man that he was, gave me the most painful phone call of my life. All the anger and hate I had towards my dad was at its worst. While he was giving me a sermon, I was already making plans in my mind to withdraw all the money in my savings account, run away from home, and overdose on all kinds of hard drugs until I managed to kill myself. That evening, I surrendered my marijuana supply to my mom, and we talked until 4 a.m. about what it was that was troubling me and everything in my life. But that moment, I felt something heavy crawling up inside my legs, and my chest felt like it was about to explode. Then I heard a voice in my ears telling me to jump off the loft balcony and kill myself. So I held the wall and started to cry and scream and cough. My hands started contorting, and I recognized this as a demonic attack. I ran to our prayer room while I called on the name of Jesus to help me. I commanded Satan to leave me. In Jesus' name, I fell on all fours, cried and screamed like never before. I kept calling on the name of Jesus at my weakest moment. And suddenly, I felt the heaviness and darkness leave me instantly. It's written in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It was very real to me at that moment, and it reads, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood alone, but against principalities, against powers, against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." My addictions to drugs, pornography, gaming, social media, girls, smoking, and alcohol, along with my depression and suicidal thoughts, have been replaced with an insatiable hunger to read the Word of God and a desire to grow in Him. All of a sudden, I saw sin in a different light. I had utter distaste for it and was so repulsed to the things I committed that I was convicted to make things right. A few days later, I met up with my drinking buddies and apologized to them for drinking and cursing and attempting to share the gospel while I was drunk. They thought I was crazy, but I felt so much release and love for them. I spent hours devouring the Bible and hardly slept in the days after. Every evening, I would share the word with my family and talk about what God showed me in His word until midnight. When they would all go to sleep, I would stay up reading, listening to preaching, singing, praying, and journaling about the amazing truths and power of God's word. I no longer spend money on my past vices, but on several excellent versions of the Bible. My hunger for sharing the power and love of Jesus Christ and making disciples is like never before. I serve in NextGen and also recently joined the RK Elevate program because of a burden I have to rescue my co-youth from the darkness I was once in. Please join our family in prayer as we move forward with a new chapter in our lives. I'm Lorenzo Rafael Bangawit, a work in progress, once a slave to sin, now set free only because of the precious blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. All glory, honor, and praise belongs to our Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. I was in Baguio a few weeks after this incident last year. And I realized people can fake Christianity, like this guy. He was in church, doing everything. And the parents have no idea that he was living a double life. And that's my burden. That's why you got to share the real gospel. And the real gospel will transform your life, provided there is transformation. In the story of Stephen, you will notice something. There was a man called Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. You are now introduced to a character. He is called Simon, the magician. And the Bible tells us they all, from smallest to the greatest, was giving attention to him. This man is what is called the great power of God, and they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. In short, my friend, magic is nothing new. Today, there's a resurgence of the occultism. Magic is real, except it is from the demons. They can do miracles, and their miracles are real also. That's why the Bible is very clear. Do you recall in Egypt when Pharaoh confronted Moses and Moses confronted Pharaoh? Moses threw the rod. It became what? Snake? The magician did the same thing. The only difference is the snake of Moses ate up the snake of the magicians. There's a limitation to the forces of evil. In CCF, by the grace of God, we have experienced many miracles, many deliverance. Okay? We have cast out demons because demons are nothing compared to Jesus. But you have to realize it's real. The spiritual warfare is real. And if you are demonized, you don't even know it. You don't even know why you're full of anger, bitterness, anger. Why is it every time there's Bible study, you don't like to attend? Why is it every time there's a Sunday service, you have thousands of excuses why you should not be there? Remember, the problem is not flesh and blood. There is the reality of the demonic world. And he whispers in your mind. He speaks to you. So this is this guy. And the Bible tells us, I'm going to warn everybody, okay? This is the warning. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. I tell our Bible study groups, especially with the internet popularity of all kinds of speakers, all kinds of teachers, be careful with people claiming to be prophets of God. You got to test them. The Bible tells us, how do you test them? By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, the Messiah. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. The test is, how do we approach Jesus? Is he the Son of God? Do we worship him? This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. The word Antichrist in the Greek language does not mean opposed to Christ. It simply means a substitute for Christ. You see, many church leaders, many false teaching, they say we believe in Jesus. But Antichrist means we substitute. Jesus Christ is no longer the only way. Many ways. Substitute. In lieu of Jesus. So any group, any denomination, any prophets that is calling attention to himself, taking the place of Jesus, my friend, you be careful. In the early days, the early fathers wrote something. It's called the Didache. Didache. If you Google it, D-A-D-A-C-H-E. These are not exactly, shall we say, inspired, but they wrote down what they practiced based on the teachings of the apostles. And one of them is, how do you detect false prophets? Now, I'm not saying they're 100% correct, but it's very interesting. You know, one of the first tests they say, if a prophet comes to your house and he wants to stay longer than one day, you be careful. In other words, they test the prophets by checking how they deal with money. If he asks for bread and water, that's fine. If he asks for more than bread and water, if he asks for money, he's a false prophet. In other words, they were very, very careful that people will not use the things of God to solicit money. That's the early church. You have false prophets all over the place. In CCF, we really don't allow our pastors to solicit money for their personal needs. You know why? We believe in the provisions of God, and the church, as a rule, the pastors are taken care of. Do you understand? But just because people need money does not mean they are false prophets. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm just saying you test them. And the Bible tells us when they believe Philip, notice, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women. So the gospel is powerful. You see, be a blessing, share the gospel because people need the Lord. Notice, even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. He observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. He was so amazed that the Bible tells us, if you read, he wanted to have this authority. Do you recall what happened? Now, before I go to that verse, let me just go to the sequential teaching of the Bible. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, the original apostles, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, are you telling me they believe and baptize, but they have not received the Holy Spirit? Has that ever bothered you? Is that your question now in your head? Yes or no? If you don't question that, I won't answer it anymore. Have you wondered, what in the world is this text talking about? They believe, they were baptized, but they have not received the Holy Spirit. You will not understand the meaning of what's happening here until you see the whole context. I'm going to explain this to you shortly. The Bible tells us, he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Ah! Is the Bible saying you need to have laying on of hands by the apostles to receive the Holy Spirit? Is that what Acts is teaching? I'm going to explain to you. Are you ready to listen? Remember, we want to preach the Word of God. So I will let the Word of God explain this to you. In the Bible, you will notice in some texts, when the Bible is written, you have what you call narrative, descriptive passage. Say that with me, descriptive. It's describing what happened versus prescriptive. What is prescriptive? When you prescribe, this is what it should be. It's called doctrinal. Narrative, descriptive, sharing what's happening. It is not prescriptive. David, Solomon had how many wives? 700 only. 700 wives. How many concubines? 300. How many women? Only 1,000. Now, some people say, you see? My friend, that's what you call descriptive. It is not prescribing that you should have concubines. You should have many wives. The prescriptive portion is found in the letters. 1 Timothy, husband of one wife. The same thing in the book of Acts. It is describing what happened. Why? Why did these things happen? Is this supposed to be normative or is it something unique at the point in history? Let me share with you. You got to know the context between Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans and the Jews never liked each other. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, Samaritan women said to Jesus, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? I am a Samaritan woman. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." You have to understand this so you will understand the Bible. You see, the Samaritans were the northern part of Israel. They belong to the 10 tribes. What happened in Israel? There was a division. Israel used to be one nation, and then it divided into two. The southern kingdom composed of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. That's where Jesus came from. That's where David came from. It's called the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, they made Samaria the capital. And in around 700 BC, the Assyrians conquered northern Israel. Israel was completely, the northern part, conquered. They were deported. So they began to intermarry. So you have the 10 tribes who got mixed up with all the foreigners. Therefore, the Jewish people who are pure, when they were conquered, they remained pure. When they went back to Jerusalem, they remained pure, but they never respected, they never loved the Samaritans, because the Samaritans were mixed race. But the Bible does not want us to be racist. So what happened is this. In the time of Jesus, a Jew will never go through Samaria. Animosity. Second-class citizens. They'll never go there. But when the gospel was preached to the Samaritans, and they believed in Jesus, the issue came. Is this legitimate or no? Is this real or not? They sent who? Peter and John, the original. Therefore, by the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, God is telling the Jews, I am no longer respecter of races. My Holy Spirit is going to be given to the Samaritans also. And the Samaritans will realize they are not supposed to start another church called the Samaritan Christians. No. One church. Jesus is our Lord. Doesn't matter, you are Samaritans, you are Jews, we are one in Christ. So that, my friend, is the background here. They needed the authority of the apostles so that the Samaritans will know we still submit to the authority of the apostles. One church spread out in different locations, and eventually, guess what happened? No, notice. So that you will know it is not normative. You know what happened in Acts chapter 10, a few chapters down? I will show you about the Holy Spirit. The next few chapters, when Peter was now preaching to the Gentiles. Now, you have to know the Gentiles. The Gentiles are considered second, third class citizens. They are called firewood. Firewood for burning in hell. That's how the Jews look at Gentiles. Wow. Peter was sent by God to speak to Cornelius, a Roman, a Gentile. When he was preaching, all the prophets bear witness that through the name of Jesus, everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. Now, notice, everybody, read with me. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. No laying of hands, the Holy Spirit just, boom, fell on everybody listening to Peter, who are Gentiles. And the Bible tells us all the circumcised believers, the Jews, who came with Peter were amazed. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out unto the Gentiles. Again, what is God's message? No racism, no more races. We're all one in Christ. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter said, notice, there were signs so that they will know these guys are legitimate. The Gentiles are legitimately children of God because of the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Please read together. Surely no one can refuse the water for this to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Notice, what's the sequence here? The sequence is believe, Holy Spirit came, and baptized. What about the sequence in the book of Acts chapter 8? Believe, baptize, the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is not normative. Those were what you call historical account. When a new group of people came to Christ in the history of the church, God wanted them to know one church, the authority of the apostles, and above all, God is no respecter of races. Having said that, let us now look at theological issue. When do you receive the Holy Spirit according to the Bible? This is now the doctrinal position. Ephesians chapter 1. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? When people lay their hands on you? Of course not. When do you receive the Holy Spirit? Let's read. In Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. If you believe he's your Savior, the gospel of your salvation, everybody read, having also believed. Grammatically, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. If you genuinely believe in the gospel, you genuinely are born again. You genuinely come to Jesus. Are we communicating? What's the evidence? The Holy Spirit. So the Bible is very clear. The Holy Spirit is the evidence of your salvation. And the Bible tells us, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Everybody read. If anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he does not belong to him. In other words, you can be here tonight. You can be here today, attending CCF. But you don't have the Spirit of God. The Bible says you don't belong to him. You can be like this guy, Simon. You know why? Look at Simon, the magician. When Simon saw the Spirit being bestowed through the laying on of apostles' hands, he offered money. Look at his heart. Give this authority to me as well, that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Look at his heart. It's about him again, not about Jesus. He wants control. He wants power. Peter said to him, everybody read, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter. Your heart is not right before God. This is a very strong language in the Greek language. Kung Tagalog yan, sasabi ni Pedro, ang pera mo at ikaw, pupunta kayo sa impierno. In English, to hell with you. It's a very strong language. Meaning, people ask me, is Simon a Christian or not? Based on the evidence of Scripture, he is not. Can you imagine? He said he believed, he was baptized, but he's not a Christian. You see, the heart is everything. Your heart is not right. And the Bible tells us, Peter told him, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. You see, God looks at the heart. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity, like the young boy who shared Ralph. Ralph was in the gall of bitterness. He was under the bondage of sin. And yet he performed all the external behavior of a Christian, but no Christ. You see, Ralph's family, the father is a doctor. They both love the Lord. The whole family loved the Lord. Ralph saw a lot of things. But my friend, if your heart has not been touched by the Spirit of God, you don't repent of your sin, my friend, nothing is going to happen to you. All you have is superficiality, pretending you're a Christian, but you are not. No transformation, no change. You see, the best test, according to the Didache, the writings of the early church fathers, the best test is, by their fruit, you shall know them. How do you know a false prophet from one? You look at their lives. So my answer to you is exactly like Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know them. And history tells us, Simon said, look, he can even pray. Simon said, pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing of what you may said may come upon me. What kind of prayer is that? I cannot repent for you. You have to repent yourself. If you don't mind, this is a bonus. Please read this bonus. The reality of fake Christians in our midst. Together, ready, go. He said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said, do you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no. For a while, you are gathering up the tares. You may uproot the wheat. Therefore, allow both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather up the tares and bind them in bundles. Burn them up. But gather the wheat into my barns. Here is what Jesus is saying. Today in the church, you have wheat and you have tares. You have real Christians, and you also have what? Fake. They look similar. Let me share with you. A wheat and tares. From the outside, they look the same. But Jesus said, don't separate them now. On Judgment Day, I will send the reapers. In the Bible, reapers are angels. They will segregate the fake ones from the real ones. And the Bible says the fake ones will be gathered up and burned. But the real ones will be gathered. Friends, only God knows and only you know whether you are fake or real. I cannot judge. But I submit to you, this is very serious. When I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you the good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You can have forgiveness, provided sincerity in your heart, saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. But if you are using Jesus as a license to accomplish your goal, like Simon, the sorcerer, history tells us by Irenaeus, this guy, Simon, Magus, magician, according to history, he became a leader of a false cult, Gnosticism. He began to pollute the teachings of the Bible. You know why? He never understood the gospel. The gospel is all about the grace of God. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I need to change. I need to repent. And the Bible tells us, they testified, spoke the word of the Lord, and they started back to Jerusalem and was preaching the gospel. Notice wherever they go. The word preaching the gospel, evangelizing. I've asked my wife to come here. Okay, let's welcome my wife. Short sharing.
So recently during a worship service, the question was asked, how many of us are excited for Jesus to return? And I did raise my hand, but I had a burden in my heart. And I spoke to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I am excited for you to come, but there's so many people who don't know you yet, and I have a burden for them to have eternal life. And his response to me was, Deanna, do your job. Share the gospel. So this week, I was in the hospital, not the hospital, I was in a doctor's clinic. She was not there yet, so there was a nurse who was going to treat me first. And when I walked into the room, the nurse said to me, I love your aura. And I looked at her and I said, that's Jesus. And she smiled, she said, you're so smarty. And I realized that when we're filled with the Spirit, that people can see the joy of Jesus in us, and that attracts them to him. So as we were having the treatment, I asked her name and asked her about her family, and she was sharing about her concerns for her husband and his bad habits. And I said, only Jesus can change a person from the inside out when they trusted him to be their savior. And she said, you know, you're the second person who's told me that. And I said, really, who's the first? She said, it's my brother. In fact, he's been inviting me to go to church. And I said, well, have you gone? She said, no, it's a different religion, so I'm avoiding him. I said, no, sister, it's not a different religion. It's to know about Jesus Christ. It's a personal way. In fact, I said, you know how much God loves you? This is a divine appointment because I'm going to share with you what your brother is trying to tell you. And so I proceeded to share the gospel with her, and I had her read Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And as she was reading, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. She was crying and apologizing. And then she went through the prayer to receive Jesus Christ. And I said, Jesus has touched your heart. And she received Jesus into her heart. And then she said, thank you so much. I said, where is Jesus now? She said, he's in my heart. I said, what do you have? I have eternal life. See, I always bring tracts with me. We have them in the bookstore, God's Way to Heaven or The Life's Best Decision. So I gave it to her, and then I said, now we'll be in heaven together. You see, I realize that people everywhere are really hungry for Jesus, but they just don't know how to know him. And we have this awesome privilege by the power of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel to everybody, everywhere, and have them be born into God's family by his power. You see, that day, the medical clinic became a birthing clinic, and she was born into the kingdom of God. And now she's one more person who is ready to meet Jesus. We all have that privilege. Be a blessing. God bless you.
Praise God. You see, a few weeks ago, I was on the airport lounge, and I met somebody. And my wife and I have this habit of sharing the good news about Jesus. And by the grace of God, this man opened up to us. And he said he was living in with a girl. I said, are you married? He said, yes. I said, do you know God loves you? Because out of the 7 billion people, why should I meet you today? I want you to know that God loves you. And I said, can I invite you to come? So, short sharing, would you believe it? The following Sunday, from San Francisco, after we landed, the following Sunday, the guy showed up in church and looked for me. Is God amazing? Praise God. No, my whole point is this. My whole point is this. You and I don't have the power to change hearts. But your job is to what? Be a blessing. What do? Share the gospel, because many people are hungry. No, as we're about to finish, I want you to understand, to share the gospel, you have to be sensitive. Let's read. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. Those of you who are going to Jerusalem with me, I can point to you. From where they are in Samaria to go to Gaza, it's no easy walk. It's like going from here to Bulacan. Ah, that's a long walk. He got up and went. So you do not know how long he walked. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, my friend, I call this divine appointment. Because you have this guy, we don't even know his name, Ethiopian eunuch, the first black African to hear the gospel. Eunuch. Now, who's the eunuch? Ladies, you don't understand this. Men, raise your hand. Say hi to me. Okay, men, you don't want to become a eunuch. You know why? When you become a eunuch, it's the end for men to have children, to have sex. But in the olden days, if you want to have a high position, to be trusted by the queen, they castrate you. This guy was a high official. In fact, he was probably the secretary of finance, in charge, a court official, in charge of finance, all her treasure. But his heart is ready. He went to Jerusalem to worship, even though he's not allowed to enter the temple. He's a eunuch, and he's black. But God has been working in his heart. And the Bible tells us, what was this guy doing? He was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join these chariots. Now, ladies and gentlemen, notice the timing of God. Here was Philip, all the way from Samaria. He went down to the road headed for Gaza. It's a desert road. The Bible says desert, meaning there's nobody there. So he must have been thinking, Lord, why did you ask me here? What am I doing here? And then suddenly, tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick. Wow, a Cadillac. It's a Cadillac. You know what? People were poor at that time. So to have a carriage, you have to be rich and powerful. And look at what was happening. This guy who was on the carriage was reading. What was he reading? He was reading the book of Isaiah. And the Lord told Philip, okay, you want sports ministry? This is sports ministry. You jog along, okay? So you're jogging. Oh, do you understand? Okay, now this is what happened. Ready? Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? You see, Philip was sensitive. Do you understand? And Ethiopian eunuch, praise God, with a humble heart. How could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up with him. Do you understand the timing? And the Bible tells us, now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 is about this verse. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to this generation? For his life is removed from the earth. These are just two verses, but in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, I'm going to show you soon, it's about Jesus. Eunuch answered Philip, a beautiful question. Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? This Old Testament, chapter 53, is talking about him or talking about someone else? Everybody read. Philip opened his mouth. Beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. You know, when I go to Israel, I don't use the New Testament. When I preach to my Jewish friend, I use the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is also about Jesus. Example, Isaiah 53. Let's read this together. Everybody. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. One like from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. He's talking about Jesus, forsaken by men, a man of sorrow. When Jesus was on earth, he knew the pain of humanity. We did not treat him well. And the Bible tells us, our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It's all about Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus. Let's read together. He was pierced because of our sins. Crucifixion was not yet invented. Isaiah 53 was written before crucifixion was invented. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's the gospel. Jesus took your place. My sin became His sin. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him. By His scourging, we are healed. My friend, this is so clear. It's about who? The gospel is in the Old Testament. You will not understand the Old Testament until you connect it to the New Testament. The Passover. A few weeks from now, we will celebrate the Passover. In the Old Testament, the Passover is about putting the blood on the doorpost. And then you celebrate it. Jesus died on the Passover. Why? He's the perfect sacrifice. Everything's about Jesus. And the Bible tells us, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. My friend, I don't know about you, but when I hear the gospel of Jesus, how he took my place on the cross, something happens to my heart. I praise God that the eunuch heard the gospel from Philip through the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us, as they went along the road, they came to some water. My goodness, a desert road, and now you have water. The eunuch said, look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. You see, baptism is a beautiful picture of coming to Christ. When you're in the water, you died to yourself. When you're out of the water, new life. So baptism is a public confession. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. My friend, there will be a baptism class. If you look at the announcement, baptism is coming. So if you are really a follower of Jesus and you have not been baptized, you be baptized not to become a Christian, but to confess that you are a Christian. Are we clear? And the Bible tells us, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went to his way rejoicing. The power of the gospel. You want to be a blessing? Share the gospel. It will give joy to the people. But Philip found himself at Azotus. Azotus is part of Israel. It's the northern part of Gaza, around 24 miles, Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching. The word preaching here, he kept evangelizing. Okay? And all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Philip is a good example. God uses ordinary people like Philip. He's not an apostle. He was a waiter. And yet God used him because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be a blessing, and he talked about Jesus. And the Bible tells us he did not neglect his own family. You encounter Philip again in Acts chapter 21. Let's read together. On the next day, Paul and Luke, the author, we left and came to Caesarea. And entering the house of Philip, the evangelist, he's called the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetess. History tells us the daughters of Philip were very effective. They were not pastors, they were prophetess. Prophetess are people who declare the message of God. You're a prophet if you speak forth the message of God. Philip evangelized his own family. He did not neglect his own family. My friend, what's the message today? Be a blessing. Share the gospel. You know why? Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Let's bow our heads. Pray. If God has spoken to you and you feel you need to be an evangelist and God wants all of us to share the gospel, I'd like to encourage you share the gospel. This week, ask Jesus to help you share the gospel. I will pray for you if that's your desire. Raise your hands. If you want to be a blessing, you want to share the gospel, raise your hands. Now, while your hands are up, bring it down again, bring it down. Many of you, you will not want to share the gospel if you have not experienced the gospel. You will not want to share Jesus if you have not experienced the forgiveness of Jesus. Is it possible why you don't care about sharing the gospel? Is it just possible you have not experienced the gospel? Think about it. If you are not excited about Jesus, about the gospel, is it just possible you have religion, but you never had a fresh encounter with Jesus? If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want you to surrender your life today. Full repentance. Raise your hands. Praise God. Anybody else? You have not experienced the gospel. You don't know what I'm talking about. Why should I be excited? Because you have not experienced real forgiveness from God. You are not sure of your forgiveness, but you want to be sure today. Raise your hands. Higher. Praise God. Anybody else? Raise up your hand. You know why? You humble yourselves like the eunuch. The eunuch was very sincere. He was very humble. And he came to Jesus. And if you are like the eunuch, you want to know Jesus today, raise your hands. You don't want to be a fake Christian. You want to be a real one. Higher, raise your hands. You know why? It is important that you be a real follower of Jesus. Raise your hands higher. I want to pray for you. Father God in heaven, I pray for these men and women who are raising their hands to say, we want to be real Christians. Lord Jesus, will you be the one to assure them? Will you be the one to let them know? In Christ, our sins are forgiven. It's all by grace. We can never use money. We can never use influence to gain your gift of salvation. It's all from you. Help us to realize salvation, the Holy Spirit, is a gift. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. But Lord, it's all from you. And those of you who raise your hands, will you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to experience real joy, real forgiveness. Come into my heart. Transform me. Make me come to know you in the most real way and help me place my faith in you. The second prayer is for those who have been touched by the Lord to be a blessing. You want to be a blessing. You want to share the good news, but you're afraid. You don't know how. I want to pray for you. I will pray that God will give you opportunities and will give you courage to share with your family members, but you need to humble yourselves. If that's your desire, Lord, I want to share the gospel, but I'm afraid, I'm timid, will you help me? Raise your hands, higher. All right, all of those who would like to share the gospel, one this week, okay, I'm asking you this week, share with at least one person. All right, raise your hands, I want to pray for you. Father God in heaven, I pray for this group of men and women who would like to share the gospel with at least one person this week. Will you open the doors? Will you open the opportunities and give them the courage to place their confidence in you to share the good news, to share the gospel? Because, Lord, the gospel is about you. And now I pray for the others. Perhaps they're struggling. They're confused. Make it very clear that it's only because of your grace that we can experience the gospel. We can experience the good news about Jesus. And Lord, will you transform our hearts just like you transformed Raph, just like you transformed Ethiopia. Thank you for reminding us that nothing is wasted when we put our confidence in you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Praise God.